out to us our own eternal destinies. Oh, has anybody got the Far Rockaway of the Heart? And it's 101 poems in the style of Coney Island. They're just numbered. Number two, I think I'll start with that. This is a true story. Driving a cardboard automobile without a license at the turn of the century, my father ran into my mother on a fun ride at Coney Island. Having spied each other eating in a French boarding house nearby, and having decided right there and then that she was for him entirely, he followed her into the playland of that evening, where the headlong meeting of their ephemeral flesh on wheels hurtled them forever together. And I, now in the back seat of their eternity, reaching out to embrace them. Number nine, history is made of the lies of the victors, but you would never dream it from the covers of the textbooks, nor from the way the victors are portrayed as super benevolent altruists and lovers of the poor and downtrodden who have never had a chance to rise up and write their own dubious stories in the mystery we call history. A river blurred with tears, or a running sea whose fish change color when cast upon the beach. And the filthy rich get filthier or richer or whatever, because money really doesn't trickle down, but rises like anything hot. And they keep getting more medals for bad behavior and for agreeing that, yes, justice has been done. And the stock market is open to everyone. Long live usura. And the jury system is the best ever for preserving the status quo. And in fact, why not have historians who leave blanks in their writings to be filled in variously depending on who's in power? And the computer makes changes easy. And anyway, history isn't really history until it's rewritten, or at least until it repeats itself. And a lot of genocides and massacres maybe never really happened, so the record should be corrected, like the Holocaust or the rape of Cuba and Nicaragua or Cambodia or Timor or you name it, even though even God can't change historical facts, something that's really happened, like a rape or a kiss. But all those natives in all those third and fourth world ghettos really always wanted to be conquered by Cortez, the prophesied fair-haired god, or by Columbus, the great white hope of Spain or Italy. And stolen continents weren't really stolen, but were glorious Christian conquests that saved those heathens from themselves. Onward, Christian soldiers. And on into the sunset go the histories about how God was always on our side anyway. And who is more fit to write the story than the victors themselves, who are the fittest, having survived and arrived at the summit of humanity's blind history, where the prizes are awarded to the fittest? And anyway, everyone except Plato knows that truth, beauty, goodness are all relative, especially truth, as she is extolled in the history books. Amen. Oh, brother, can you spare a dime?
You're listening to Lawrence Ferlinghetti, A Defense of Poetry. This is Independent Alternative Radio. Stay tuned at the end to learn how you can get copies of this program and for our special book offer, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, An Indigenous People's History of the United States. Our website, alternativeradio.org. If you'd like a free copy of a printed transcript, PDF, or MP3 of this program, just give us a call, 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977.
Okay, Beach Generation. Created out of whole cloth by Allen Ginsberg. I feel that without Allen, there wouldn't have been any Beach Generation. There would have just been separate great writers on the landscape. Number 12. And Pablo Neruda, that Chilean omnivore of poetry, who wanted to put everything in and take nothing out of his Canto General, said to me in Havana Libre Hilton, 1959, "I love your wide-open poetry," by which he meant a certain kind of poesia norteamericana and its rebel band who rose over the rooftops of tenement boneyards intent on making out and made out of madness 100 years of beatitude. "So boring, I'm snoring," cried Joe Public before they came along and busted out the sides of Poetry Chicago and various New Yorkerish poet tasters out of their Westchester cradles, endlessly rocking on the Times Square shuttle between the Times Book Review and the Algonquin. While lady critics and gent professors moaned about poetic pederasts at Columbia, they cruised Times Square and America and cruised into history, waving genitals and manuscripts, and tuned their holy, unholy voices to a wide-open society that didn't yet exist. And so jump-started the stalled merry-go-round of American ecstasy, left along East River's echoing shores after old Walt stepped off Brooklyn Ferry into the heart of America. This is number 14. The defeated romanticism of T.S. Eliot and his pathetic fallacies haunted my school days. He would not go away. His spent phrases dripped in my inner ear whenever a poet was near. Everyone echoed him, even Anglican preachers. A defrock, proofrock, and his exhausted libido stalked my boys' school hallways, hand in hand with Mr. Quichotte, the young English tutor. He wore his trousers rolled. Only old Graves in first-year Latin would not bow down, sticking to his Juvenal and the bucolics. We were sure at night he tippled with Dionysius and flung off his Harris tweed and mounted the lovely housemaid in Honor's cottage and heard the mermaids singing each to each and heard them singing to himself and off and on made faces at a copy of The Wasteland on a very high shelf. 21. Oh, heart, involuntary muscle. Oh, heart, mute lover without a tongue of your own. I would speak for you whenever you, seeing a certain someone, feel love. He with the beating wings, the lark has no tree, the crow no roost, the owl no setting place, the nightingale no certain song, and he with the beating wings, no place to light in the neon dawn, his tongue too long ago retuned by those ornithologists the state has hired to make sure the bird population of the world remains stable and pinioned. There is no need to clip its claws. Its tongue will do. Tether the tongue and all falls fallow. The wild seed drops into nothingness. Tether the tongue and all falls into silence, a condition ever desired by tyrants, not least of which is the great state with its benevolent bird watchers, with their nets and binoculars, watching out for the wild one, he that bears Eros like a fainting body, he that bears the gold bough, he with the beating wings. A wild, soft laughter. It's poetry, not prose. The title comes from an introduction to Whitman's Leaves of Grass by Carl Sandburg. in which he says, through all of Whitman's poetry there sounds a wild, soft laughter. This is not a poetry reading at all. It's really a retrospective of my painting. And all around you, you will see pictures at an exhibition of my reality. And I'll be your tour guide to the strange, exciting scenes. So just pretend it's paint, not words, and you will no doubt see what paint and what perspective I have stolen from Goya and Picasso and Motherwell and Klein and de Kooning and all the other seeing eyes of my generation in Plato's cave. So open up your third eyes and see my long landscape laid out before you as I have seen it shimmering in the shaken light of the late, late, late 20th century. Avioncitos, the little aeroplanes of the heart with their brave little propellers, what can they do against the winds of darkness? Even as butterflies are beaten back by hurricanes, yet do not die, they lie in wait wherever they can hide and hang their fine wings folded. And when the killer wind dies, they flutter forth again into the new blown light, live as leaves. One of these days, when I am old, will they accept what I say as the absolute truth and call me maestro and pin the cross of light on me? And if they do, oh, if they do, will it have been worth it after all the broken sentences begun again, all the illusory triumphs which could only happen on Sundays when all the banks are closed and the bankrupt churches open? And all the lotteries won only to find the tickets printed with evaporating ink, and the last horse in the last race coming in last, and I standing in the winner's circle with a wreath around my neck, wondering which blonde will kiss me as the mariachi band plays Happy Days Are Here Again or Battle Hymn of the Republic. And a parade goes by to the distant plaza, where imbeciles wearing tinsel wings drop from the trees. Ascending over Ohio. Actually, I was just leaving the Kenneth Patchen Festival in Warren, Ohio. Ascending over Ohio. The angels coming down the aisles. The angels coming down the aisles have their wings on backwards. They're not wings for flying, but gossamer illusions in my TV mind, making these airline ladies the ministers of my madness, even though each one wears the same airline uniform with a spare set of wings on lapels. Each is also my ministering angel, my belle dame sans merci. Come down to earth to fetch me for the final flight to the heavens, where fly back and forth the trans-world spirits of all the greatest gods. Buddha floats by, holding the Christ child in a Chinese scroll of sky, unrolling before us as we ascend over Warren, Ohio, where 50,000 lost bodies look up as I release a shower of golden parachutes with 50,000 reinflatable balloons and 50,000 valid passports to the rest of the imaginary universe, where live and love and sing the most ravenously beautiful bodies and souls in all eternity. As one comes down the aisle now, spreading her gossamer wings over me. This really happened. Not a thing invented. A report on a happening in North Beach, San Francisco. When the lovely bride and groom came out onto the grand front steps of the Catholic Church of St. Peter and Paul at 4:32 in the afternoon, a knot of natives was waiting at the bottom of the steps, including a bunch of bridesmaids and family friends, all of whom were holding on to the straight strings of bright green balloons, which were the exact same green as the bridesmaids' dresses. And the bride was holding on to a pure white balloon, which was naturally the same as her wedding gown, and the groom was holding on to a black balloon that matched his black tailcoat. And the newlyweds proceeded to knot the strings of their two balloons together. I saw it. And then, with a kind of whoop, they let them soar away, while at the same instant, all the people holding green balloons let theirs go with a little cheer. And the beatific bride and her handsome groom laughed and waved as they descended toward the others, with never a look up at the balloons that were zooming straight up into blue sky and becoming smaller and smaller every instant, while the newlyweds gaily climbed onto the waiting imitation San Francisco cable car, upon which the bridesmaids were already perched and nobody casting ever a glance at the flying balloons that now seemed to be heading south over downtown San Francisco, with the black and white balloons keeping close together on their tether while the green balloons started spreading out all over, and the groom and bride took their special seats at the front of the cable car, which wasn't a real cable car at all, since it had rubber wheels not attached to any cable, which would have restricted its destiny. And the happy couple were still waving and laughing and kissing each other and ringing the cable car bell, while the balloons that nobody looked at were now at least a couple of miles high in the distant sky that now seemed to be growing darker and darker, with huge banks of cirrus clouds to the west toward which the tiny balloons now turned like a flock of birds winging seaward, with two of them still close together, with the others strung out further and further, so that they began to look like lost sheep in an alpine landscape of towering white mountains, while the cable car of a sudden started up with a great clanging of its bell as everyone cheered and waved without ever a look at the disappearing balloons of their lives, so far away now that they looked like very distant mountain climbers scaling the walls of great glaciers in the final working out of their separate fates, except for the two climbers still roped together. As the cable car zoomed off westward up Filbert Street and on toward Russian Hill, over which in farthest sky still could be seen the tiny black dots of the climbers going higher and higher and disappearing into their destinies, in which even the two roped together would, in the normal course of life, lose their breath and shrivel away and fall to earth out of air. Got this poem in Pescara, which is on the Adriatic. In a tiny, tiny town, not even a town, just a hamlet called Grotta Mare, which is sea caves. Turquoise sea off Grotta Mare. Grotta Mare and its sea caves echoing beside the Adriatic. Echo of siren song still reaches me inside the silent train. I, once more the lost voices calling under sea. Ah, but naturally, it is all illusion. The fog lies heavily in the olive trees. Morning is made by the clock and not by light, which only exists in our minds. Men and women sleep in their usual darkness. Only the light asleep in their eyes gives any hint of an iridescent future, an incandescent destiny. Only far out, beyond the far islands, the sea sends back its turquoise answer. The sea, that's the only thing wrong with Boulder. There's no sea here. Same with Santa Fe. I like these love this landscape, but that's what I miss. It's La Mer. Mother, La Mer. Madre. Anyway, I got to be near it, and I think it must be some of my Italian ancestors. When I was in Portugal, a local poet took me to his town, which is called Nazareth, a very, very small fishing town. And he was the same way as I was. He kept saying, the sea, la mer, la mer. And il mar, el mar. Italian, Spanish, French, it was all the same. And we sort of ran along the beach, roaring at the sea. So this is a sea poem. Poet as fisherman. As I grow older, I perceive life has its tail in its mouth. And other poets, other painters, are no longer any kind of competition. It's the sky that's the challenge, the sky that still needs deciphering, even as astronomers strain to hear it with their huge electric ears, the sky that whispers to us constantly the final secrets of the universe, the sky that breathes in and out as if it were the inside of a mouth of the cosmos, the sky that is the land's edge also, and the sea's edge also, the sky with its many voices and no God, the sky that engulfs a sea of sound and echoes it back to us as in a wave against a seawall, whole poems, whole dictionaries rolled up in a thunderclap, and every sunset an action painting, and every cloud a book of shadows through which wildly fly the vowels of birds about to cry. And the sky is clear to the fisherman. Even if overcast, he sees it for what it is, a mirror of the sea about to fall on him in his wood boat on the dark horizon. We have to think of him as the poet, forever face to face with old reality, where no birds fly before a storm, and he knows what's coming down before the dawn, and he's his own best lookout, listening for the sound of the universe and singing out his sightings of the land of the living. That was with quite a few steals from T.S. Eliot's The Dry Salvages, which is in the Four Quartets, which he wrote about the coast off of Gloucester. To my mind, the Four Quartets are unjustly ignored these days. I think it's the greatest poetry that Eliot wrote, and one of the great poems of the 20th century, Four Quartets. Uses of poetry. So what is the use of poetry these days? What use is it? What good is it? These days and nights in the age of Autogeddon, in which poetry is what has been paved over to make a freeway for armies of the night, as in that palm paradiso just north of Nicaragua, where promises made in the plazas will be betrayed in the backcountry. Or in the so green fields of the Concord Naval Weapons Station, where armed trains run over green protesters, where poetry is made important by its absence, the absence of birds in a summer landscape, the lack of love in a bed at midnight, or lack of light at high noon in the not-so-White House. For even bad poetry has relevance for what it does not say, for what it leaves out. Yes, what of the sun streaming down in the meshes of morning? What of white nights and mouths of desire, lips saying lulu, lulu, lulu over and over, and all things born with wings that sing?
and far, far cries upon a beach at nightfall, and light that ever was on land and sea, and caverns measured out by man where once the sacred rivers ran, near cities by the sea, through which we walk and wander absently, astounded constantly by the mad spectacle of existence. And all these talking animals on wheels, heroes and heroines with 1,000 eyes, with bent hearts and hidden over souls, with no more myths to call their own, constantly astounded as I am still by these bare-faced bipeds in clothes, these stand-up tragedians, pale idols in the night streets, trance dancers in the dust of the last waltz. In this time of gridlock Odegeddon, where the voice of the poet still sounds distantly, the voice of the fourth person singular, the voice within the voice of the turtle, the face behind the face of the race, a book of light at night, the very voice of life as Whitman heard it, a wild, soft laughter. Ah, but to free it still from the word processor of the mind. And I am a reporter for a newspaper on another planet, come to file a down-to-earth story of the what, when, where, how, and why of this astounding life down here, and of its strange clowns in control of it, the curious clowns in control of it, with hands upon the windowsills of dread demonic mills, casting their own dark shadows into the earth's great shadow, in the end of time unseen, in the supreme hashish of our dream.
You were just listening to Lawrence Ferlinghetti, A Defense of Poetry. He spoke at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, poet, publisher, and defender of freedom of expression, passed away in February 2021. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, based in Boulder, Colorado. We are independent and progressive, and in our 35th year, we're supported solely by individuals just like you. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To place a credit card order for CDs of today's program, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, A Defense of Poetry, and for our special book offer, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, An Indigenous People's History of the United States, just give us a call at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can go to our website, alternativeradio.org. If you'd like a free copy of a printed transcript, PDF, or MP3 of this program, just give us a call at 1-800-444-1977. Special thanks to Naropa University, the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, and City Lights Booksellers and Publishers. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening. We go out with Italy's Fabrizio De André.
Teste fasce sciacalea e sciabre sese canalina a me le resta tu valea per non remena la fortuna in tu mezzo do ma che pesce tondo che quando vede brut o vascio fondo in tu mezzo do ma palla che quando
dove debelle o venha cá.
É o posto de Aniquia de Geneve, se supide gambe me brasse neve, da lua canso la canta o tambu, eu louça canjo em travante o tu.
Vulga te da vulga, prejuneve, esponja, esponja o remo, vinho o pé. Vulga te da vulga,
e tale giù conta po' prima caveggiaia a me peste in tumulta e questa la memoria di siga ma ci libri da storia sino a capo da pagia e su tutti il mondo gran caro come un tempo di faro ma ne te coffrei tu te morde. Te già sciate spia, te ne morde, e o veia se tu pensa meca, e o vede o risce na seca, che di ultimo alle peggio, salvando che a vita è o sciabeco. E dove giù conta, o prima caveggiai, a me peste in tumulta, e questa è a memoria di siga, ma ci libri da storia, sino a capo da pacia. Chiamare nego che a tutte ricchezze all'argento e lo si naga la show delicia o su già stemando ma posto do segno
in tu mezzo do mare deixo tudo che quando vede tu vai in chifu.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Listening to the Deep Blues Hour here on WRCT Pittsburgh. My name is Steve, your host for the next 60 minutes of classic and traditional blues. In this next hour, we're going to hear from Sleepy John Estes from West Tennessee, along with his buddy, Homesick James. Also, Reverend Gary Davis, live in concert, mid-1960s. As well as Otis Rush, live at Montreux. Jazz and Folk Festival 1986. It's all coming up here on this hour of the Deep Blues Hour. Let's start off the program with Philip Walker. Here he is from a disc called Working Girl Blues. This is Brother Go Ahead and Take Her. Philip Walker here on the Deep Blues Hour.
Brother, go ahead and take her. just worn out from holding on. Rather go ahead and take her. I'm just worn out from holding on. Don't worry about my feelings. They are already dead and gone. Rather go ahead and take her. But I sure hope that you can see she's gonna cheat on you. Just like she did on me. Go ahead and take her. Welcome to my misery. You already said that you love her. Once I did too. I know you think she's heaven. But I know the hell she's gonna put you while you can. Don't start making. Oh, you know no long-range plans. I'll guarantee you, I'll make a bet with you. You won't be her last man. No, you won't.
Attic Records joins you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing new and used records and CDs. From metal to hip-hop, reggae to doo-wop, and all stops in between, Attic Records has new releases and used. Family-owned and operated, Attic Records pays for quality used records and CDs with no collection too big or too small. You can visit Attic Records today or call them at area code 412-821-8484. Thank you.
how'd it go now? I'm a fixin' me gumbo tonight. Oh, how'd it go now? go now. This little girl don't like me late. go now. This little girl don't like me, baby. I tell y'all she's out of Louisiana, baby. And she sure got what it takes.
tune right there from Otis Rush, recorded live at the Montreux Jazz and Folk Blues Festival, 1986. There he was with Crosscut Saw, live version there from Eagle Records. We also heard from Johnny Copeland from his LP called Texas Twister out through Rounder Records, 1983. And then I'd Go Now from Johnny Copeland. All right, up next, let's hear from, well, this is a nice little combo. Hound Dog Taylor, Little Walter, and others. Odie Payne, I think Dillard Croom as well. Recorded live at the American Folk Blues Festival in 1967. Here he is with You Be So Fine, Hound Dog Taylor, on the Deep Blues Hour.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'll do it. again. I'm crying occasionally. I really ruined my den. You get your head around my maid. I used to be my friend. Come and call baby. Real high. Come and call baby. Turn the day I die. I'm crying occasionally. I really ruined my den. Don't get your head around my maid. I really need you to be my friend. Call you one man, call you dope. Got anything I want, I'll call up any trouble, call us King Snake. Think I really rule my day. I'm gonna get your hand on my mate right now. Are you ready for be my friend? Oh. Well, crawl up in your window, crawl up in your door. Got anything I want, I'm gonna crawl up on your floor. Got my crowd in case, man, yeah. I'm talking about a real rule, my damn. Don't want to get around my man, man. I really use you to be my friend. Hey, man, play the guitar. Can you play? There I die, come a crowd of King Snake, Black Snake. I keep on crawling around in wild goat. I'm gonna keep on crawling in bed. Till I get it, then I won't. Oh. I really want it real bad. I want it real bad. I'm a crawling King Snake, and I really ruined my day. Hey, King Snake, can you play it? Can you play it? Can you play, King Snake? Can't play it, don't come around me no more.
dance on the beat. Come on, brother.
Saw no hat, pair of shoes. I found an old coat laying around in my room. I really got rough in my room last night. I've been mistreated, feeling kind of low. Don't like to be mistreated. Yes, I'm feeling low. I've seen all that stuff. I really got rough. Somebody had to go. Every time I look at you, you make me so mad. I don't know what to do, yet I can't see how a man like me could ever fall for someone like you. I can. Every time I pull up, you pull me down again. I've got enough same old stuff. Can't let you pull me down again. Yeah. Yes, yes. Can't let you pull me down again.
There you are, Jesse Thomas, and all that stuff from a Blacktop release called Looking for That Woman. Before Jesse Thomas, we heard from Homesick James and the Hypnotics from their album called Sweet Home Tennessee. That was Crawlin' Kingsnake from Homesick James. All right, up next, we're going to hear from Reverend Gary Davis. This is off of the box set called Demons and Angels. 12 Gates to the City, concert performances made 1962 through 1966. Here he is. This is the Whistlin' Blues from Reverend Gary Davis on WRCT, Pittsburgh.
I'll come along as a young man, you know. Had no been nowhere, you know, and I decided I'd make up my mind I would go somewhere. Enjoy my life. Give me your attention now, folks. I didn't want to go no short distance. I want to go a good ways, long ways, so I could have some truth to tell. I decided I'd go to Los Angeles, California. Just kind of bloom around there a little while. Find out just how I would like it. I done around, got money enough to get to California. Show you what a greenhead man, what happened to him. Spent all my money, you understand, buy this ticket. After buying this ticket, you know, and getting to this place, when I hit the ground, you know, I thought about getting me a pack of cigarettes, and you know, I didn't have one dime in my pocket. You know that was some bad. I still wouldn't let it worry me. all dressed to death and broke to death too. I never thought about myself until I looked up at the sun. The sun was going down. Nobody could ever meet you or stand ahead, didn't show any kind of smiles on their faces. So I went on and on, kept on storming and dancing around there, trying to liven myself up now. Didn't have nothing to liven myself up with. I wasn't kind of pitch, you know. I happened to look back. So I don't know what called me to look back. I looked back and I saw a tall girl come along. She made up, you know. You know, when they're made up good, I call them pony built children. She had hair like Mary, and I believe she walked in like the Lord. I kept on looking at her. You know, man, we'll look at a good-looking woman. I kept walking pretty pit. I said, well, I don't really know how to get a chance to talk to her, no. She's looking at me and I'm looking at her. I got to walk pretty pit, you know, she whistled at me. I stopped, you know, boy. I see that she wasn't going to catch up with me. I broke out again, started running. Whoa. The sun is going down. I only get where I could hear something going on if I didn't know nobody. She threw it at me again. I stopped then, you know, and I stayed there. She walked up to me. First thing she does, she threw the arm around me and gave me a slap in the mouth. Just, you know, I felt like then